Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? It's your favorite host, the Prodigy Son, and I'm back at it again. That's right, with another episode. And today's episode, I actually got a guest with me, man. It's a cool dude. I've known him for quite some time. I'm going to let him introduce himself, and he's going to tell, you know, how we met. And yeah, and then we'll get the episode going from there. So Brett, tell them, you know, where you're from and everything like that, and then tell them how we met, like the story behind it. Yeah. So.
Okay. Hey guys, I'm Brett Capone. I'm from San Francisco, California. I'm a professional golf caddy, and I met Marcus at Bob Barker Hall and Campbell University's apartments, and oh boy, it was a treat to be a roommate with him. And you know, we roomed with a guy named Kevin and Josh, and it was just real fun. You know, we talked about sports and, you know, just joshed around.
Yeah, that's right. I can remember when Brett first actually came in. It was at the time where we didn't even have like a fourth roommate. It was just me, Kevin and Josh, and we were just, you know, chilling. And just, you know, on that night, Brett came out of nowhere with his bags and everything, and we were like, who is this dude? Like, it just came out of nowhere. We didn't think we were gonna have a roommate for the rest of the semester, and this is the spring semester. And all of a sudden he comes in, he's like, hey, I'm Brett Capone, and like he had on a Sharks hat and everything like that. And I was like okay, like this is gonna be interesting. And Kevin, who was the other roommate of ours, he was, you know, just as surprised as I was. Josh didn't really care. Josh was more like quiet, more laid back, and he absolutely loved video games. I swear, the kid would just like he would play video games all night, whether it be Call of Duty or, you know, Battlefield, whatever it is, Mortal Kombat, you name it. So, as Brett like came in as a roommate, we got to know him a little bit better. And we did a lot of fun stuff together. I can remember times like where we actually like ended up pranking Brett a couple of times, like with stuff in his room and stuff, just doing silly stuff, you know, like, you know, that roommates do sometimes. And even the nights of like staying up and playing like 2K or Madden, Those were actually fun nights. And I think, Brett, you went to did you go to a couple of parties with me and Kevin? Because me and Kevin always wanted to go out like and party like over at the Meadows. For those of y'all that don't know what the Meadows is, what I'm talking about, there's a neighborhood literally like close to where Campbell University is, and it's called the Meadows, and that's where they have like a lot of the parties and stuff like that. They also had another location that was like the International House. So, but Brett, did you go to some of those parties? I think you knew somebody out there that had a place out there in the Meadows.
Oh yeah, I went to some of those parties, man. I friggin' it turned into a YouTube video of girls giving me lap dances. So it was quite the experience, and my got so mad they had to take it off.
And then wasn't the dude that the place that you went to, whatever, wasn't he like into like golf? Like, cause you're into golf, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, like I was part of the PGA golf management program. And, you know, my nickname's Shooter because I made a double eagle and actually, you know, played some guy named Brent Davis in golf, and he wanted to play for $50. And on the sixth hole, I had a tap in for eagle, and then I was like five under after eight holes. And he was so pissed off, he just walked in. He was so pissed. Yeah, so.
And that's crazy that they nicknamed you Shooter, because, like, honestly, y'all know how I like movies and stuff like that, and I reference movies. And Happy Gilmore, with they talking about, you know, the guy Shooter McGavin, that's all I could think of, you know, when Brett told me that his nickname is like Shooter, and it came from that. All I could think of, you know, was that part when he was like, you eat scum for breakfast? No.
No, Marcus, is it you eat shit for breakfast?
Yeah, same thing. Same thing. I mean, you know, shit, scum, you know, same thing. Tomato, tomato. But yeah, speaking of sports, I want us to segue into the NBA restart, because Brett, I know that you're, you know, an NBA fan, you're a Warriors fan, I'm a Miami Heat fan, which y'all know that, you know, I've referenced that on the episode before. So it's kind of crazy, you know, in this, you know, climate that, you know, with everything going on with the pandemic and also with, you know, the issues with the police brutality, you know, and the Black Lives Matter movement, that the NBA is still, you know, trying to do everything they can to have the players be safe and restart. Like, they got scrimmages going on right now. But what me and Brett are pretty much going to, you know, talk about is, like, who do we feel is going to be, like, the champions, you know? And also, with that being said, like, the sleepers, some of the teams that we think that might sneak up, per se, like, on other teams, like elite teams, and kind of knock them off and, you know, maybe surprise us. So, Brett, I want to ask you, who do you think is going to be the champion when it's all said and done after this, you know, NBA restart?
Well, I think, you know, the Lakers are probably the best team for it. I mean, you know, they have the best record. They got LeBron, they got J.R. Smith, you know. They got pretty much a stacked squad, Anthony Davis. But I think, you know, possibly the Celtics. I'd like to see Celtics and Lakers in the championship. That'd be cool, because it'd be a classic.
Yeah, no, definitely that would definitely be a classic, because we haven't seen Celtics Lakers since 2010 when Kobe was with the Lakers, and they had the big three in Boston with KG, Ray Allen, and who else am I thinking? Oh, Paul Pierce. It's crazy, man, because I didn't think that you were I didn't think you were going to actually specifically go with the Lakers. Like, you're such a copycat with that, man. You're such a copycat. but no.
Well, I want to go with the Lakers just to see them lose to the Celtics, because I'm a Warrior fan, so I'm just trying to, you know, give them a little taste of victory and then, you know, have the Celtics take it right away.
So they can have, like, bragging rights, right? So they can just talk shit all day about it. Like, yeah, we got one more over you. Yeah. No, I get that. I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like that the champions will be the Lakers, honestly, when it's all said and done. Like you kind of said, LeBron, Anthony Davis, that's two of the top five NBA players in the league. And LeBron's on a mission, all right? He's, you know, he's not been lazy and just been chilling, you know, and just been on TikTok, you know, with his family and stuff. You know, he's been working hard, and he's, you know, he's got the gray beard now that he's sporting. He says, like, a, you know, silver lining or whatever, silver beard. So, but I think LeBron, with having that rest, you know, and just having that little mid break, which is kind of like almost like an all-star break, is going to help him as far as, like, age-wise, because LeBron is 35. And so, you know, somebody like that age that has played so many minutes and lost so much time, like, on the court, it's going to help him a whole lot, you know, to be able to be fresh and to go out there, you know, and execute, you know, like how he should. And Anthony Davis, you know, seems ready than ever, you know, to – because, I mean, he's just hungry for a championship. You know, he was on a terrible New Orleans team, you know, before. So, and he said he wants to stay a Laker forever. We'll see how that goes, right? Because Anthony Davis actually is just on a one-year contract this year. He's not, you know, on a two-year or a three-year. So he's got an option if he wants to stay with the Lakers. Hopefully he does stay with the Lakers and they win multiple championships. But to go into the sleeper teams, I'm going to say – as far as on the West, because I know Brett talked about the East, I'm going to say the Portland Trailblazers. And I'm not saying the Portland Trailblazers just because of, like, you know, Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. You know, I'm also talking about Carmelo, because I heard that. I don't know if you heard, Brett, but Carmelo, man, this dude shedded some pounds. Like, he lost some weight. And I'm not talking about, like, he did, you know, on some, like, you know, Nutrisystem type stuff, you know, or, like, Bowflex, like, he, like, seriously lost some weight, like, naturally, and he's feeling in the best shape he's ever felt, like, in a long time, probably since when he played for Denver. So, like, and that's like, a while back. So I would have to say that, you know, Portland, you can't – don't sleep on Portland, because they can be very, very dangerous, especially with Damian Lillard and And the way that he can shoot the three, like, lights out. And I'm also go to the East. I'm going to pick a sleeper in the East. Even though, you know, like I said, I'm a homer to the Miami Heat, right? But if I had to pick a sleeper in the East, I'd probably say, honestly, it's crazy that I'm saying they're a sleeper, but Toronto. Because to me, I don't feel like Toronto is a favorite to come out the East. I feel like it's Milwaukee because, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo has something to prove. And he could very well end up with the MVP too. But I almost feel like that, you know, Toronto is, you know, a team that, you know, could very well be slept on but could surprise some people coming into the playoffs for this whole NBA restart thing. So those are just, you know, a couple of sleepers that I think of that are going to possibly make some noise. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones, like honorable mention type teams. oh, yeah, the Houston Rockets. That was another one. The Houston Rockets, because Russell Westbrook just flew in and he just got into Orlando, got into the bubble, as they call it. And basically he's been working out and he's ready to go. Harden is already there. So I think that they have something to prove too. And I don't think you can ever doubt Harden. Especially at this point, because he's failed so much in the playoffs. He's almost like failed as much in the playoffs kind of as in the early years like Peyton Manning did, you know, in the NFL. So, but not to harp on that too much, those are who I think the sleepers are going to be and who I think is going to be the champion. Now, Brett, I don't know if you know about the whole NBA bubble life and like what they got to go through. You know, at that time, like as far as like when they're just, you know, not working out and things of that nature, you know, they got to get like tested all the time. Like they got to get tested for every single practice, like before every practice, like after every practice. Like, can you imagine doing that? Like just being like in the league and doing that?
Yeah, I mean, like, being a pro golf caddy, I've heard some of my friends, you know, caddying on the Korn Ferry, which is just below the PGA Tour. I know Korn Ferry, what a name. And, you know, my friend, he had to stick a, you know, like a meter up his nose for 12 seconds. I mean, I can't even imagine, you know, for 2 or 3 seconds. So, like, you know, this is going to be a gruesome process, and hopefully we'll get through this and it'll be over soon.
Yeah, no, definitely. I just want to, you know, definitely tell everybody out there that, you know, please stay safe. You know, I know that they've boosted up, you know, the number of places that they're requiring masks. Just wear the mask, you know what I'm saying? Like I said on the last episode, there's going to be people that are, you know, not going to, you know, abide by those rules. And that's, I mean, that's understandable. You feel the way you feel about it. But let's stay safe. Let's try to get through this together, you know, and, you know, come out of this, you know, and be better for it. But speaking of the, you know, the NBA, you know what, Brett? I wonder if people have, you know, heard the term, like, a lot of, like, shooting your shot. And yeah. When I say, like, shooting your shot, y'all, I mean, like, basically you taking the time to go out and actually talk to a guy. And I'm speaking – this is mainly for – women on this topic. Like we're still gonna, you know, kind of talk about as well as like, you know, the guy's perspective, but right now I want to talk about, like, you know what, girls don't shoot their shot with confidence enough. You know what I'm saying, Brett? Like they just don't make the first move enough in this day and age. And not to say that's like a bad thing or anything like that, I feel like, you know, it is something of a kind of like a double standard, you know, sometimes where it's like, I get it, you know, the man most of the time as being the dominant, you know, species and everything like that, we're supposed to make the first move, we're supposed to, you know, court them and everything like that. I mean, that's cool, but I feel like, you know, as a woman, if you know what you want, you should shoot your shot. You should shoot it with 100%, you know what I'm saying? Like, it should be perfect, like, you know, or near perfect. I mean, it's, you know, you're not gonna be perfect like say like Steve Nash or something like that from the free throw line. Steve Nash is an old school NBA player. Matter of fact, I think Yeah, Steve Nash was in the 96 NBA draft. That's hard to believe. That's crazy to me. I'm sorry, y'all. I just thought about that. But Brett, what I want to talk about is like why do you think women don't shoot their shot first at a guy?
I just think that they tend to think that the guy's just more like they want the guy to be more dominant and make the decision. You know, like it's like going out to eat, you know, like does the girl ever usually decide where they're going to eat? It's always like the guy making that decision, like, oh, I want to go to, you know, McDonald's or Chick-fil-A. No, I wouldn't take a, you know, girl on that kind of date, but, you know, maybe like Ruth's Chris or, you know, Maggiano's or, you know, like a high end, you know, place. But I just feel like the girls are kind of waiting for the guy. You know, I feel like the guys should be waiting on the girl to make the decision. You know, the girl should have some sort of jurisdiction and have some, you know, I just feel like, you know, maybe they, you know, need to have just more confidence. I just feel girls are just more shy, you know, like it's just guys are, you know, more like, you know, forward, and girls are just, you know, just waiting. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of girls lately on this live stream I'm on, and the girls usually go into my stream and they don't say anything. They're just kind of lingering. I just feel like, you know, they're just kind of checking out. I feel like girls are more observing and they're more analytic. You know, guys are more, you know, they just straightforward and they tell you how it is, like, you know, right away, as opposed to girls kind of like to wait and take their time. So,
definitely. I agree with that, that, you know, they kind of take their time or they kind of wait. I feel like it's almost a thing of like how they were kind of raised, you know, in a way. That's why I kind of think that a lot of times women don't, you know, shoot their shot, because depending upon, you know, how their parents met, right? You know, if their dad, you know, was one to make the first move, you know, then it's like, you know, they're expecting the man to do that, you know, and the, you know, the mothers a lot of times will teach that, you know, to the daughters that, you know, hey, it's up to the man, you know, to make, you know, that first mover or come up and talk to you, because you're the woman, you have, you know, the power of saying no. And honestly, you know, that kind of leads me to, you know, this, that they still, even regardless of that, you know, how they were raised, it's nothing wrong with knowing what you want, right? You go to a fast food restaurant, right? Like, say, like, you go to, like, Wendy's or something like that, y'all. And you already know what you want, right? You already know that you want the Baconator combo, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you want the Baconator combo with the fries and the lemonade and stuff like that, you know? Like, so knowing what you want, there's nothing wrong with that. And that, you know, that goes for a lot of stuff, but especially with, like, you know, dating. Like, if you see a guy, you know, that you think you're interested in, I mean, go up and talk to him. Like I said, shoot your shot. It's nothing wrong with, you know, going up and saying that. You know, that doesn't make you less, you know, of a woman, you know, if you know what you want. And you know what? To me, y'all, honestly, that is sexy to me. When a woman knows what she wants and she comes up and she's like, hey, you know, because it's not something where it continues to be like she's, you know, in control. You know, once she's made that first move, I mean, it's still up to you as a guy to, like, push that forward. You know what I'm saying? Like, at that point, you got to push it, you know, to reference the sports. You got to push it to the next base, all right? Like, she's might, you know, be at that first base for you as far as making that first move, but you got to push it to, you know, the second base. So, and I say that because, you know, it's a very, very important for you to, you know, continue that process and not just be stuck on it. I'll say myself that, you know, me and my girlfriend, you know, together, that, you know, how we met, she actually, you know, kind of in a way made the first move. She started talking to me first and everything like that. And from there, I started, you know, kind of making the moves of, you know, trying to set up some of the dates. She set up maybe the first couple of dates, but by that third date, like, it, you know, I was, you know, setting up most of the dates. We got more into talking, but I feel like again, it's nothing, you know, wrong with a woman trying to make the first move. Brett, talk about why you think that a woman, you know, should make the first move, and you know, why that, you know, shouldn't be, you know, an issue towards them and their perspective, you know.
I just think the women should make the first move sometimes is because the guy is a little bit shy too and doesn't know if, you know, like what kind of, you know, like move he should make. So I feel like the girl should make the first move because, you know, the guy sometimes can be indecisive, and it's, you know, attractive, like you said, for the girl to make the first move because it shows, you know, initiative, confidence, you know, and it makes the guy feel better. And I feel like guys always make girls feel good, and, you know, girls should make guys feel good too, you know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. I agree with that, you know, it does make the guy, you know, feel good, because it's like, you know, it kind of, in a way, you know, boosts, you know, the guy's self-esteem a little bit. Because I'm not saying that, you know, of course, like, you know, guys not out here, you know, saying, I know you guys are not out here saying, like, oh, man, I'm, like, butt ugly or something like that. Like, nah. But it does boost their self-esteem to say, like, hey, well, you know, she's interested, you know. There's obviously something, some, you know, quality about me that stands out that she's like, hey. I think kind of quote my dad in a way, like, he's always said that no matter what, wherever you go as a man, there's always, you know, some woman or some girl that's winking at you. There's always some woman or some, you know, girl that is looking at you, checking you out, whether it be, you know what I'm saying, a mall, whether it be, you know, at a fast food restaurant, church, you know what I'm saying, wherever you're at, there's always some girl either checking you out or, you know, or just, you know, winking at you, looking at you. So, but let me ask you this, Brett. Do you think, you know, by a woman making the first move, does that make you, like, less of a man because you didn't make that first move?
No, I honestly think that it makes the woman more of a woman, you know? I think that by her making, you know, the first move, it just makes the guy feel better, like I said before, and I feel like it makes the relationship, like, start off great, you know? Like, a guy feels really, really good when a girl, like, when a girl checks me out and starts, like, let's say, dancing with me at the club, you know, like, it's just, it feels good. Like, a lot of guys, you know, they have problems, you know, asking a girl to dance or something like that, but, you know, a girl asking a guy, it feels really good for a guy from their standpoint, so.
True, and I get what you're saying there, too, because the only thing I will say with that is, like, I've never been too much of a club person, y'all. Like, I'm not too much of a club goer. I have been to clubs, like, here and there. I just feel like, you know, as far as, like, getting to know, like, a, you know, a girl, like, really, like, one-on-one, I feel like the club, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, like, I don't feel like that, you know, you're able to do that. And the one, you know, may not be able to be found in the club. That might just be something for the night. You know what I'm saying? Like, so just, you know, something for the night, something, you know, some quick, somebody to talk to. Or, you know, somebody to vote, you know? So, but in the same token, like, I kind of, you know, agree, you know, like I said, with some of what you're saying, that it doesn't make you less of a man, you know, if some, you know, woman is coming up and making the first move, if she's shooting her shot, you know, like, if she's, you know, Ray Allen it, I mean, and Ray Allen was a really great shooter, y'all, you know, for all the sports fans out there, he was one of the greatest shooters of all time. If she's out there, you know, shooting her shot like Ray Allen, hey, I have no problem with it. Like I said, you know, that, in any token, that boosts my confidence. That lets me know, okay, again, like, she knows what she wants. And listen, ladies, like, it's not to say that, you know, guys are, you know, trying to be lazy. We're not trying to say that, you know, that we're lazy and that we're waiting always for you to make the first move. I get it. Like, to talk to y'all for a second, like, I know that y'all love it when a confident man comes up and, you know, makes that first move. Because then it's like, okay, well, I know I got somebody that, you know, knows what he wants, right? And I can feel like, you know, this might go somewhere. Who's to say, you know, if it, you know, blossoms into, like, you know, dating or, you know, or a full-on relationship, who's to know that? But, you know, we know that as guys that it's not easy going up and making the first move because we feel this sense of a rejection, right? Like, it, you know, we don't know if it's, you know, low-key, if it's going to be no. But we still, you know, try to have that confidence. Because, you know, for all my guys out there, you definitely have to have, you know, that confidence when you want to, you know, spit that G, you know what I'm saying, to a girl. You know, you got to definitely be on your P's and Q's and, you know, don't be too nervous. And, you know, don't speak with them, you know, try not to talk with them when they're, like, around their friends or something like that, you know, if that's the case. Like, you know, in a certain area or atmosphere, get them when they're by themselves so that way it's like, you know, it's one-on-one, she's not distracted, she's hearing you out. And then if she says no, you know, leave it at that. You go and you make your move on the next girl. But if she says yes, cool, you start talking from there, you know? So, and we just, you know, keep it pushing. But the next thing I want to get into is, like I was saying earlier, with the crazy climate that we've been in, police brutality and the whole Black Lives Matter movement has been at the forefront, you know, other than COVID-19. So with Brett being here, you know, and getting like a second, you know, point of view, Brett, I want to know, you know, how you feel about police brutality in general. And then also, you know, how we can actually make a change, you know, and improve, you know, what's been going on with unarmed Black women and men in our country.
Well, I just think they need to, like, you know, follow the laws. I mean, they need to follow the laws too. They can't just do whatever they want. But at the same time, I mean, people need to follow the laws too. And I just feel like it needs to be more on an even playing field. And it feels like, you know, police sometimes think that they can do whatever they want, and that's not true. Like, I was talking to a guy yesterday, and he was trying to buy a bike. And I guess, like, they said that he didn't pay for it, but he had the receipt. And so somebody called the cops, and the cops came and arrested him, and he had the receipt. So, like, mm-hmm. I just feel like they need to have more proof. They need to take more time. They can't just start arresting people, you know. They have to have more of a reason, I feel like. I feel like they don't – they just, like, mm-hmm. rush into it, you know. Like, they don't, like, have any kind of thought – like, I feel like they just go right into it, you know. They,
yeah.
You know, hear of something, you know, from the station, and then they just go and just, you know, pounce, like, you know, like
mm-hmm. –
again, barracuda, you know, like, it's just, yeah. You know, they need to have more sense of, you know, rationality. Like, I feel like they're almost like, they don't think about it before they do it. And that, you know, I feel like they're like, oh, well, it's my job. And, well, you know, like, just like, there's a lot of traffic stops, you know, that happen. And then they're like, what do you, like, you know, like, pulling me over for? And they just make something up. I think there almost needs to be, like, a better system in place where, you know, there needs to be – it just seems like it's skewed, you know. I feel like they need to have, you know, like, a better reason, you know, like a legit reason, not just some made-up, like, pull someone over. Sometimes – my uncle was a police officer in Boston, and sometimes when you pull somebody over you know, they're just saying, oh, you're going like 85, you know, they're just making up some number. And sometimes the person's not even speeding and they're just trying to get you because, like, maybe there's drugs or something else in the car, you know, like they're just like, because one time I was in Utah and I was going like 70 miles an hour, which is 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. And I had, like, you know, Krispy Kreme donuts in the front seat. And the freaking canine dog, like, searched my car. I'm like, geez, I was just going 5 miles an hour and you're going to search my car? It's like, like, what, like, seriously, like, you know, they need to be more lenient. Like 5 miles an hour over is nothing compared to, you know, like, say, you know, 20 or 25 over. I don't know. Just like they need to be, sometimes they take it too far.
Yeah.
You know, like when they don't need to, but then there's all other times on the other side where they, you know, they don't do enough, you know, cause I know, you know, I lived in San Francisco for, you know, years, and these, you know, homeless people on the street were doing drugs and shooting them up, and then the police were just letting them go. So, and one time I got strangled to death almost at the bar, and the police, and, you know, they almost arrested me because they thought that I did something to them.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It just needs to be more, I don't know, I feel like it's not fair, you know, they need to like, maybe more training. I was talking to a former police officer the other day, and he said that, you know, these guys don't go through enough training. They're going through, like, I would say, I think it was like 32 hours or something like that.
Only 32 hours? Man, that's definitely not enough, you know.
I don't know if it was 32 hours, but it was like, not, like all these other professions, like, you know, nurses, all these other, you know, high-end professions were going through like more than two times the training, you know, like they just like put these police officers, almost they throw them to the wolves, you know, they just, I don't think it's police officers' fault so much. I think it's more the training and the education process.
Yeah. I think it is, you know, definitely something to do, you know, with the education. Also, man, it's just like, you know, we can, you know, do better as far as de-escalating the issues. You know what I'm saying? Like, when it comes to, you know, basically a young minority, like, you know, that's out here, like, say, you know, for example, like somebody like Ahmaud
Arbery
was basically jogging, right? And, you know, he was hunted down pretty much, right? Like they hunted him down like an animal. And these are guys that, you know, weren't really necessarily, you know, cops. So we actually got, you know, like, in a way we have kind of like the police brutality, but we also have, you know, ones that, you know, just feel like what the police are doing are okay. So they don't have to, you know, if they don't have that badge or whatever, you know, they could still, you know, take down somebody, you know, whether it be, you know, Black, Hispanic, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's definitely, you know, mainly young Black lives that are getting taken. And I think the other thing is that they're so quick to, you know, judge right away as far as, you know, what that person is capable of doing, right? Like they've already had it in their mindset that, you know, hey, you know, if he goes for this, you know, if he puts his hand here, I don't know what he's going to pull out, but I'm going to be ready. Like, so they have that mindset already, like, where it's like, I'm going to make sure to control this. But the only thing is that you go too far with it. You know, you go to the point where, you know, you literally, like, you know, beating down the person, and then next thing you know, you're killing them. And for what? You know, and for those out there, you know, that are listening, you know, I've mentioned, you know, about, you know, the killings before, and mentioned also about, you know, Breonna Taylor. And I want to definitely, like, state this. Like, I know that a lot of, you know, athletes and others have stated this, that, you know, we need justice for Breonna Taylor. Like, what happened to her was just inexcusable. And I think they made a law. I don't know if you heard about it, Brett, but they made a law about it that you can't just, you know, break into, you know, a house like that, you know, with because they didn't even have a warrant, you know what I'm saying? And they ended up shooting her multiple times, you know, and it was all because, you know, like I said, I think I told y'all this, you know, the story before. If I didn't, you know, it was all because they had heard that there was like a break-in or a robbery that was going on, and they definitely went into the wrong house. You know, they went into Breonna Taylor and her boyfriend's house and took out Breonna Taylor. So there's justice that needs to be for what happened to Breonna Taylor. You know, those cops definitely need to, you know, be punished for what they did. You know, we need justice for that. But, and I think as far as, you know, changes go, I've talked about it before. Like, I can't keep preaching it, but, you know, voting is definitely, you know, going to help, you know, with some of the issues that, you know, have been going on with police brutality. And, you know, also us getting out here and, you know, having the conversations, you know what I'm saying, like that me and you are having, Brett, you know, and talking about this and having like allies out there, because, you know, there's been and I think I also mentioned this on a previous episode before, there's been a lot of us that, you know, that are not, you know, black, that are actually, you know, speaking out on this more. Like, you got guys like literally like I'll point back, you know, to athletes. Like, you got guys like Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt that are talking about it. You got certain, you know, white celebrities and other celebrities that are actually speaking upon it. And it's at to the point where, you know, we're at the boiling point, right? Everybody said that, you know, that with the killings of George Floyd, that was pretty much a boiling point. So, you know, it's definitely good, I will say, to touch on that, to have, like, you know, allies and to have others speak out, you know, on this issue and try to, you know, push for change, you know? So, the final perspective that I want to get into, right, is we want to talk about, you know, Netflix, right? And we want to recommend to y'all, because I know that everybody, again, is, you know, trying to stay safe and has been, you know, chilling at home, things of that nature. So, you know, you probably want to find, you know, more good, you know, shows to watch or movies to watch, whether it be Netflix, Hulu, you know, what have you. So I'm gonna go ahead and suggest, I'll let Brett suggest a Netflix show or a movie first, and then I'm gonna go ahead and recommend the one that I believe, you know, that you should check out. It was actually one that I just watched recently. Brett, go ahead and talk about the show or movie that you recommend on Netflix or whatever streaming service.
I think, you know, The Last Dance was pretty good. I'm still actually going through it now, but it just talks about, you know, Michael Jordan growing up as a kid and, you know, how, like, you know, growing up with his family made him successful, and, you know, all the players he played with, like Dennis Rodman and Scottie Pippen and, you know, Tony Kukoc, and
mm-hmm.
just persevered and, you know, how they still got hurt through the seasons and they made it, you know, I think, you know, back then it was weird because I was watching, like, you know, Dennis Rodman walking through the, you know, the hall with, like, a beer and, like, you know, you just, like, smoking a cigarette. Like, you just do that anymore out of, like, you know, guys like Steph Curry or, like, Kevin Durant. It's, like, you know. But it was just cool because, you know, it showed, like, you know, the guy, the GM, and, you know, the coach, you know, Phil Jackson, and how, like, the GM, I think his name was Jerry Krause, he was kicking out.
Yeah, Jerry Krause.
And he's like, you got one more year, and then they ended up winning the NBA title.
That was crazy to me, like, not to interrupt you, Brett, but that was crazy, y'all. If y'all haven't seen it, you definitely need to check it out. Brett is right, that's well recommended. I don't even know, you know, if you haven't seen it, I don't know how, because it was on ESPN a while ago, like back in April, you know, when this pandemic first started, they wanted to air it. But that was crazy to me, Brett. That was no spoiler alerts, you know, for everybody out there. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it, go watch it. Don't listen to this part of it. But that was crazy to me. When he said that this was going to be the last season that Phil Jackson was going to be there, and Phil Jackson just pretty much, he deemed it the last dance, right? He said that, like, Jerry Krause literally said, like, I don't care if you go 82-0, you're still not going to be the coach of the Chicago Bulls. And this team is not going to be the same. And I was like, whoa. Like, that was crazy. Because I was a big-time Bulls fan, you know, back then. I'm not going to lie, y'all. I was a huge fan of Michael Jordan. Became an even more huge fan of him after Space Jam. But you're right. That was crazy as far as, you know, him talking about, you know, 82-0 and you're out of there.
Yeah, like, they didn't even want that guy to, like, none of the you know, coaches and owners of the league were like, this guy, Jerry Krause, don't hire that guy. Like, you know, and then, you know, the owner, I don't know, what was the owner's name of the Bulls?
The owner's name, I think his name was Jerry, too, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, okay. But he was, like, I'm not looking for, you know, like a personality guy. I'm looking for a guy that wants to win, you know, so.
Yeah, yeah, and y'all pay attention, basically, definitely, excuse me, to Michael Jordan's views, because really, it's, you know, this whole Last Dance thing is definitely from his perspective. All right, well, you're gonna see a lot of like how Michael Jordan felt, and I don't know if it, you know, anybody caught like the Good Morning America, you know, interview that he had with Robin Roberts, but basically he said that I feel like after this, you know, documentary that people are gonna see me as the bad guy. But Jordan was just, you know, he's basically telling, you know, from his point of view, you know, what it took to win. And sometimes, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, drastic and extreme stuff, you know, to win. And that was back in the 90s where, you know, basketball was a lot different than, you know, how you guys see it now as far as the NBA. The NBA is, you know, to kind of quote Stephen A. Smith from First Take, the NBA now is like soft as cottonelle tissue. Like, it's, you know, the fouls can be, you know, called, like, and you've seen it, Brett, right? Like, you know, that they call, like, fouls, like, here and, you know, there, and, like, with, like, 5 seconds, like, you could, like, sneeze on a guy, and they'll call a foul.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was the 90s. It was pretty tough, you know?
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the three-point, it's like a three-point shooting contest now. Before, it was more like passing and, you know, like, you know, without the ball and, you know, moving more, and now you got the guys like Steph Curry and, you know, like all the other, I mean, just there's so many 3-point shooters now. I mean, like Damian Lillard, I mean, he's another one. He's, they just like, you know, they're so good at shooting threes. So now, like, they don't really pass as much. I feel like they're more lazy. Like before, like there was so much more, like he had, like, remember, like Ron Artest and Meta World Peace and, like, Charles Oakley, like some of those guys. I mean, Dennis Rodman. I mean, all these guys were just crazy. Like, yeah. I mean, even Birdman when he played for the Nuggets. I mean, these guys are just like very instant heat. Yeah. They're very, you know, physical. And now, like, I feel like they're more like restrained, and they don't want to, like, because I feel like they don't want to get hurt. You know,
right.
So
right.
Yeah.
But The show that I recommend, y'all, is, like I said, it's a show that I just checked out. I might be a little bit late on it, and if I am, so what? I know that there's a season 2 coming out for it, the 31st, I think. I can't wait for it. But it's called The Umbrella Academy. The Umbrella Academy is a good show, y'all, that y'all should check out. It's got 10 episodes. I love the development of the characters in there. It's basically like if you're like into, you know, stuff of like superheroes and things of that nature, or just like comic books, you know, into that side of, you know, that nature, then you'll definitely, you know, enjoy this. And Brett, I highly recommend that you check it out too. You know, if you're into that, Umbrella Academy is something that, you know, you should definitely see if you're into the whole superhero thing. Because it develops the characters, and it shows, you know, they all have different powers, but it also, like, when I say the development, it talks about each one of their lives, you know, and it kind of builds up to the ending, which, you know, was a pretty crazy ending that's going to pretty much, you know, in the season 2 is going to push, you know, for a lot more stuff to happen. So I'm definitely excited about season 2 for Umbrella Academy. It's dope. It's something new. It's fresh. It's a Netflix original, right? So it didn't come from any other network. I highly advise y'all to check it out. And, you know, like I said before on this podcast, like if y'all have any, you know, shows that you want to recommend to the listeners out there, like, you know, to check out, you know, whether it be movie, TV show, what have you. Because like I said, we're all sitting at home. We're trying to stay safe, you know, and get through this pandemic together. Don't be afraid to, you know, message me on Instagram. Like I said, I'm going to say the tag one more time. That is theprodigy_son. I actually also have a page for the podcast on Instagram now. If you want to follow that, it's The Prodigy Son Perspective. And I also have a Facebook page with the Prodigy Son Perspective. You can search for it, like I said before, and you can go on there and you can message me, or you can post. You can post a Netflix idea. I had a friend of mine that I think I posted something not too long ago asking what's good on Netflix. He posted something. Shout out to you, Russell. But he posted something, you know, as far as a good movie to watch. So don't be afraid to do that, y'all. And make sure y'all follow and like the podcast and comment on it if you want. Brett, I'll let you, you know, promote. I think you have a little golf show or whatever, something like that, that you got in the works or something like that, if I'm not mistaken. I'm
trying to, but, you know, if this works, maybe we'll get together.
Go ahead and talk about that a little bit, and then we'll go on and close this and get on out of here.
Okay. Show, or like, you know, like a Caddyshack, but a show, and like, you know, guys, I mean, you could almost like twist it up with like the whole COVID thing, you know, like if a guy's like 6 feet, you know, he just got to keep 6 feet apart, and, you know, people wearing gloves and masks, and, you know, like, you could just do something where a guy falls off the car, you know, run into the water, you know, just crazy shots. I mean, you could bring in guys with trick shots and stuff like that. And, I don't know, just do some crazy stuff. Like, you could throw clubs and say stuff and say funny stuff, maybe bring some funny people in, and, you know, I don't know. There's a lot of funny stuff you could do on a golf course, that's for sure. Like, as a caddy, you know, for 17 years, I've seen a lot of funny stuff, you know, where this guy, you know, when I first started caddying, I was, you know, walking up the hole, and he hits it in the bunker, and then he hits it. He's in the bunker, and as I'm raking the bunker, he's like, "Hey, wait a minute! Stop leaving rake marks." And like, you know, you got to make this smooth. Like, I'm like, "What do you mean rake marks? Like, that's what the rake does, is make rake marks." So the guy only gave me like $30, but actually $30 wasn't bad for a 15-year-old. And then my dad was like yelling and screaming at him because he treated me so bad. I was about to throw the clubs in the water on 18. I was so mad at him because he was just being hurt to me. He's like, "Oh, that wasn't 140. It was 150. And then he kept, like, arguing me on yardages. And, you know, he's like, "Fix that ball mark." I'm like, "Dude, that's your job. I'm not playing. Yeah,
I'm not about to do that." Yeah, I'm not the one playing out here.
And he, like, you know, mark his ball for him. I'm like, "Geez, I'm like your, like, slave today." So,
oh, like, gosh.
just some of the stories. I mean, you got to be careful. Like, I was a young kid, and this one guy I caddied for, like, liked me a lot, but then he's like, "Oh, you want to, you know, stay in my hotel room in, you know, Washington, D.C.?" I'm like, that might have been the last time I ever, you know, caddied, and the last breath I took, you know? So, like, you know, some of these guys can, you know, get a little bit creepy. They're weird and mean, but then a lot of them are pretty cool. And, you know, I've caddied for a lot of, you know, billionaires, like really famous people. Yeah. I won't draw names because I might get in trouble. But
right, right. Yeah. Don't want to say names. Got to keep it on hush hush, you know.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. But, you know, I caddied for some guys that were worth, you know, billions. So it was like, you know, cool to see their perspective. And honestly, those guys are like really, really nice. It's like the guys that are making, you know, millions that are jealous of the billionaires, and the millionaires talk and the billionaires don't say anything. So
yeah, no, definitely. That sounds like a good idea, Brett. I mean, especially with how much you love golf. You know, somebody that loves golf as much as you do. Not to say, you know, that I haven't, you know, checked out golf before, but it's, you know, not really my forte, you know what I'm saying? Like, but but that's definitely a good idea, man. So y'all look out for that. And I appreciate y'all listening to this episode. Hey, this has been a pretty good episode. Brett, might have you on the next future episode or something like that. Who knows? It might even be something where you might, you know, be a regular. But that's going to wrap it up for this episode, y'all. I appreciate y'all listening again, like I said. This has been your host, the Prodigy Son. Stay safe. Love y'all. Good night.